get going here, I want you to think about something. Think about somebody that you would consider to be an example of faith. Someone that you would want to emulate in your faith. Well, now, it could be someone from the Bible, you know, plenty of examples, right? Maybe you're thinking someone like the Apostle Paul, or maybe, the Hall of Faith from Hebrews, maybe Abraham, or maybe it's, maybe it's Timothy or something. Okay, so in your minds, so maybe it's Geraldine, okay, right? Okay, but who would you think as an example of faith that you would want to copy and you could use as a great model, okay? Now, with that in mind, let's turn to Mark chapter 7, and we're starting at verse 24 today. Mark 7, 24 and following. Jesus left that place, recall he's at the Sea of Galilee, and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syria, Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the daughter eat all they First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying in the bed and the demon gone. Mark is taking us down this path of Jesus and who he is and the kingdom of God and what that is. And he's more and more giving us these, he's pushing us in our considerations of who we consider to be inside and outside. Who's in the kingdom, who's out. Who are the saved and the unsaved? Who are the clean and the unclean? Now last week, we kind of demolished that whole notion of clean and unclean with washing of hands. And really, Jesus said, it's not what goes in your mouth, it just comes out. It's your heart. And we're seeing that over and over again. We're seeing those we think should be in are out, and those who we think should be out are in. And this story here, in a very way, accentuates that point. It pushes us even a little further, maybe even a little more uncomfortably, in our considerations of faith. Now, the setting here is, he's moved to Tyre. And if you have a picture of, here's the Sea of Galilee, and here's the Mediterranean Sea, Tyre's like up here. So he left the Sea of Galilee, he went north, further from Jerusalem. Okay, this is into a Gentile, predominantly Gentile area. It's a historically, for a Jew, this would be historically a place that has been against them. Either places Isaiah 43 or in Jeremiah 47 that the prophets prophesied specifically against Tyre in this area. Now, other gospels also mention Sidon for some reasons. So we have this historically oppressor of the Jews in Israel, and Jesus moving into this area, again, further out, pushing the boundaries. Now, it's interesting, again, we're seeing him basically trying to hide, all right? We've seen before, he says, let's go up on the mountainside and rest. But everywhere he goes, and same here, he can't get away. I mean, someone this notorious is going to be found, and this is the case here. Now, we're not sure what's going on. The disciples aren't mentioned. He doesn't give a reason. Was he just want to rest? Does he need to hang out? Does he need to teach his disciples things? We don't know. We have no idea. But what we do know is that, again, no matter how far he goes, no matter where he goes, they find him. The people find him. He is just too famous at this point, and for good reason, right? I mean, guy's healed, he's fed thousands, he's walked on the water, he's done some cool things. So, in that setting, then, this woman is introduced. Now we first see that she hears about him and then immediately seeks him. Now we know that a little bit about her. She's from this area, Tyre, so she's a Greek or Gentile. They specifically mention it as a Syrian Phoenician, you know, which again is a even more outside of the bounds of what would be clean for a Jew. And this daughter is possessed by an evil spirit. Now, we don't know what she heard, but she must have heard something that would encourage her to find Jesus and to basically confront him with what she needs. Now, I'm going to propose to you today that, again, many great examples of faith in the Bible. Many. And going on. But this woman, I would hold up with anybody an example of what true faith is. And here's why. So, as you look at, and for us, okay, this is the question, right? True faith. What is, you know, what do we consider as faith? How is our faith? What do we consider to be faith? And this woman shows us what it is. I really think she does. So first off, she heard, right? We're seeing that a lot throughout Mark's narrative. You know, there's this dividing line. You know, those often who are hearing but not hearing, who are seeing but not seeing. We're seeing many who, his own disciples who are with him all the time, and they're not hearing or seeing sometimes. And we get people who are demon-possessed or, you know, women trying to touch him and all these things. Crowds, and they're the ones that we're hearing and seeing. And so she heard. She heard something. I mean, even from, you know, in the time there, I mean, things travel, word can travel fast. And certainly a city like Tyre is on the coast, is an important city. News of something going on down south was out and about, right? Because these are big things. So she heard. And we know, we understand, the scripture tells us there is a connection between faith and hearing, right? Romans 17, that to faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's something there that we hear, and then faith is built, made, blossoms, whatever it is, right? And so she is showing us again this upside down kingdom of God ethic, because she had everything against her. She's a woman. All right? She was a Gentile. And in this time, even just being a Gentile, being a Greek, made her unclean. Just in being that. So if you were on the street and you brushed shoulders with a woman like this, you were unclean. Now again, Jesus destroyed that notion, but I think we're seeing the point being made even more so here. So she's a woman, she's a Gentile from an area that is historically oppressive and against the Jews. She's a daughter who's demon-possessed. There's no mention of a husband here. You know, some speculate maybe she's a widow. We don't know, but anyway, everything is against her here. She is the very definition of the one who should be outside. It makes me think two things. I was wondering this week. When people hear about Jesus, you know, from us, from churches, whatever, what Jesus are they hearing about, right? Are people hearing about a Jesus that would compel them to run to him and throw themselves at his feet? Is that the Jesus that is communicated in our lives? Or are they hearing about the popular Jesus, the Jesus who will get you in with certain people, the Jesus that will help you with your business, the Jesus that can just, that will fix your family if you just do certain things? Are we hearing about the powerful Jesus, the Jesus that will give you what you need and will give you the right government or give you the right influence? Are we hearing about the status Jesus? I follow the Son of God, and you are not, so I'm better. Are we following the whew, my God, I held Jesus. You know, oh, at least I'm not going to burn. I may not be having any fun, but there's that. Are we hearing the set of rules, Jesus? You got to do this, this, this in order to be accepted, Jesus. See, there's a lot we can do. And we've kind of talked about that before here, haven't we? And we're seeing here that whatever this Jesus that she heard about was one that was so compelling in her desperation that she responded in faith. She heard about the healing Jesus. She heard about the compassionate Jesus. She heard about the Jesus that will feed you. He's the Jesus that's willing to touch the unclean and isn't worried about it. That's a compelling Jesus. And she wondered, when I'm at work, when I'm around the community here, what Jesus do they see in me? It makes me think. So here we see then the response of true faith and the great example this woman gives to us. So this is how you respond to faith. What? As she heard, she fell at his feet. We've seen this before, right? Mark has shown this over and over again. When the demon-possessed man, those demons were cast out into the pigs, what did he do? He fell at his feet. The woman who's bleeding, pushing through crowds, she just wanted to get down and just touch the hem of his garment. And when she was there, what'd she do? She just fell at his feet. Right? There's something in an encounter, in a true faith encounter with Jesus. When we see him as he is, who he is, that will compel us to a posture of humble worship. Right? And if that is not the response someone has to Jesus, then is that a response of faith? Right? There's something to be thought of there in our own hearts. The posture we have before him is a posture of respect and worship. So that's the first response. Respect and worship, understanding who Jesus is. The second response of faith, I think, is determination. It's something when you have faith, when it's in deepest part of your heart, you're deep into your bones of belief and understanding who Jesus is, there's a determination that can come out of that. And this woman was determined. Now she's desperate for her daughter. And I think we can all understand that compulsion. But then that faith, she was determined. She's going to find this man. She's going to throw herself before him. Whoever was around, I don't care. I'm going to do what I have to do for my daughter. It's determined. And in this interchange here, the way it's written, you can't really tell in English here, but it's kind of a back and forth, continuing. So she said, will you do this? And Jesus saying, well, I don't know. And no, will you do this, please? Well, come on now. You know, there's a sense of continual, determined, dogged faith. And we see that throughout Scripture. You know, there's Jesus tells the parable of the widow and the judge, right? He just kept on coming. Finally just says, fine, I'll do what you want to do. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, so to speak, right? There's a faith aspect there that God is seeking. Do you really believe? Do you really have faith? Then keep on going. That is faith. It is determined. I think thirdly, and I think probably the most important aspect, the thing that this woman teaches us more than anything else, faith is humble. It's humble. Now there is a attitude that for many is not looked highly upon, right? Humility is fine for some things, but not for others. But here we have to first deal with this difficult exchange that Jesus has with this woman, right? I mean, no matter how you read it, basically he says, calls this woman a dog. All right? Now, even this morning, it was funny, Sherry called this morning, and I was sitting at the kitchen table, and she said, what are you doing today? I told her, and said, you know, there's this story about the woman, and Jesus calls her a dog. And right away, just, oh, Teresa said, oh, you know, I mean, I never took that as being mean at all, you know. And you know, and she went on to kind of say these things. I said, well, yeah, but Mark doesn't really give us that. You know, it's there. I think he just says, deal with this. But, you know, this is Jesus. So we have to come to grips with, what is Jesus doing here? We have to think about this a bit. Because I think that's what Mark wants us to do. He's really driving home the point here. Because any Jew who heard this would say, yeah. Right? That was the attitude. Now, some will say, you know, and Jesus did, the way this is written, that word dog is... There's dogs, like the feral things that go through garbage and are nasty out and around. And there's like pets. And here it is like the diminutive version of dog. Okay? Little dog. Nice little doggy. Okay, doggy would be a good way to say it. All right. Okay, but still it's a dog. All right. It's a dog. He called her a dog. And in this context too, not again as a woman. And as a Syrophoenician, it's basically a, and for most Jews, would be a racial slur. The N-word of the day. So we have to deal with it. Now I think, honestly, Mark just wants us to sit in it. Say, okay. And I think, now here's my take on it, all right? And I thought about this all week. Because we have to deal with it, right? We have to figure this out in our own minds. I think what Jesus is doing and what Mark is doing in reporting it like this is this. When we consider the otherness of this woman, coming off, think about what we just came off of too last week, when Jesus was talking about traditions and declaring foods clean and showing us that what real cleanliness, uncleanness is about. This story, put right here, just kind of puts a big spotlight on it. Even more so, it amplifies this whole idea of what clean and unclean is. And by calling it a dog, he's just saying what all these Jews are thinking. Now, again, I'm not there. We don't know. But here's my suspicion. Jesus, in understanding who this woman is, and what she's asking of him, and in his own mind, he is thinking there's scripture basis that, you know, even Paul talks about the gospel coming to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, right? There was this order of things and that Jesus was trying to do. Yeah. But he's also just shattering all borders and barriers here. So I think it's this. In calling her a dog, you know, basically calling her a dog, you know, he says, it's not right for the children's bed to be fenced. The dogs. I imagine there just being a slight little wry grin on his face. You know, of knowing his audience, knowing he might be around there, and just saying, you know, inner determination, saying, you know, it's not right for the bread to go to the dogs. Right? Right? I mean, that's kind of what everyone's thinking and what they expect maybe a holy man would say. But then the woman shows us this great aspect of faith. Humility. She didn't get mad. She didn't get, fine, you're calling me a dog, I'm out of here. No, in fact, she calls, and it's the only time in the book of Mark this happens, addresses him as Lord. She said, yes, Lord, but... don't you think that maybe the dogs could get some crumbs? And I just had to think that Jesus just smiled and said, you get it. All these other people, sometimes my own disciples, I tell them these things and it's like it's bouncing off a rock. But this woman, this Gentile woman, understands it. She gets it. This is the kingdom of God. There is plenty. And the kingdom of God is flourishing. Didn't you see me when I fed the 5,000? There's enough bread. In fact, you don't have to have the crumbs. There's plenty of bread. That's what she understands. That is faith. She got it. She saw this is what Jesus is about. And she was humble about it. She said, Lord, please, just can I have a crumb? And Jesus said, oh, you can have one crumb. Go home. Your daughter's healed. And just like with the centurion, she just went home. She didn't need to have him come and lay hands or whatever. It was done. Now, we don't know anything about this woman. That's it. What happened? We don't know. Was she Jesus' follow the rest of her life? I have no idea. But we're seeing Jesus in his response here to faith. A faith that is determined. A faith that is humble. A faith that is properly oriented towards who Jesus is. We're seeing that in God's kingdom. Outside's inside and inside's outside. She understands. So, what do we take here? All right. One, let's think about this. And I mentioned at the beginning, what Jesus do people see in you? Or, better yet, I think, what Jesus do people see in us? All right? Us as a people, as Trinity Evangelical Free Church, as Christians. Because there's a lot of Jesuses out there. You know, every day in the news, there's, you know, people talking about Jesus or politics about Jesus, whatever, and faith and things, and it gets murky and mucky and weird sometimes. But who is Jesus that people see in you? Is it the Jesus that is so compelling that people just want to run to and fall at their feet? That's a good question to ask. A second thing we want to think about here, I think, who do we think is on the outside? Right? We have to consider our inside-outside considerations, right? I mean, Jesus, like I said, he is just blasting through cultural norms, every idea of what should be proper and right. And it doesn't change. We are like this. I'm at work and I'm looking to sell a car, right? It's my job, it's what I gotta do. And I see some people come out a lot. And they get out of their car. And I see what they're wearing. And maybe it's dirty. Maybe their car is just kind of, ugh, look at that thing. And, you know, and in my mind, I start calculating. Oh, I bet you their credit's under 5. Right? I'll bet you, I don't know. Do I really want to take the time to talk to these people? You know, we do. We do that, right? So someone in the church, we see someone, someone on the street corner and they got tattoos all over and piercings out of every part of their body and it's weird and you think, are they inside the kingdom of God or not? Right? I mean, whatever it is that we have in our own minds of what is proper or right, be it how they dress or the people they hang out with or the lifestyle they lead. I mean, yes, we have considerations that Jesus calls us to obey. But Jesus shows us over and over and over and over and over and over again. One, it's not our place to judge. Because we don't see what he sees. Okay? The Jews would look at this woman and say, outside. Period. And she says, you don't understand. And there's the same challenge that we have. You know, when we put ourselves in this story, folks, most of the time, us as Christians, we've been Christians a long time because we've, you know, just lived in it. It's normal. And we do set up traditions. It's normal. It's natural. It happens. And so most of the time when we look at these stories, we're the Jews. Most of the time, we're probably the Pharisees in how we act and judge and see people sometimes. Not always, right? I mean, I know you. I look at this you and I say, man, I'm seeing beautiful, wonderful followers of Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. But I know my own heart. Like I said, I can look across the lot and try to judge someone's credit score. Well, how often am I judging someone's heart? It happens. And we have to guard against that. And that's the challenge I would have. As the Spirit, I just say, Lord, help me. That's what I do. And then I go talk to them. Because you know what? They probably don't want to buy a car. So let's do something. So that's the second consideration. Who do we think are outside or inside? And check our hearts. Third and last thing in consideration of faith is that role of humility. That role of humility. In our culture, we are in a culture of lift me up. See me. I am awesome. Look at my lifestyle. Look at my car. Look at my clothes. Look at the food I'm eating. I'll take pictures and show you. Look at my job. Look how much money I have. Look at my spouse. Look at my kids. Now, I brag about my kids as much as anybody. All right? I do. I'm proud as can be. But in our culture, the role of humility can be pushed aside in ways we see, okay, I'm just praising my kids or something like that. Right? But this woman shows us how important it is. And true faith is a humble faith. It's not demanding. It is that fruit of the Spirit, it is that love, joy, peace, patience kind of things that we want to see in each other. And in those who would say that they're following Jesus. I mean, Paul, in his teachings, what does he say? Consider others as more important than yourself. That doesn't go on Instagram very well. Well, it's not, right? They're not promoting others. They're lifting me up. I'm not going to get the likes. I'm not going to get the money if I do that. The root of faith is humility. Willingness to say, you know what? It's not about me, Lord. It's not about me. Yes, I know. I'm a dog. Fine. Can have a crumb. That's all I need. And Jesus saw that as faith. So, again, I would consider in your examples of faith. So look at this woman. Because I think Mark, more than anyone that we've seen so far, has just highlighted her. And this section that we're in right now goes up through the middle of chapter 8 or so. And I think this is really the peak of what Mark is bringing us in this idea of faith. And to consider ourselves and how we interact with people in God's kingdom. That it's pretty wide open. More and more and more. It's pretty open. It's very open, right? Come all who would call me Lord. He is breaking down these barriers as in a way we should be doomed to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for this woman who showed us faith, a humble faith, a determined faith, a worshipful faith. God, I pray that more and more and more that I and everyone here would, by your Spirit, follow this example. That the Jesus that people see in us is the Jesus that is so compelling that people want to come to you in faith. Help us, Lord, and we are grateful to you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace this week. Thanks for being here.